You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. We are sorry we haven't done one for what feels like a while. And since then, there's been two Liverpool games you haven't managed to talk about. Of course, the United draw, which we'll discuss first very briefly. We'll get into the West Ham, which was much better, and a lot more to discuss before we talk about another massive game coming up against Arsenal at Anfield on Saturday. So loads to get stuck into. But yeah, as always, I'm Mick. I'm joined by Christian, as always. Christian, how are you feeling, lad?
Christmassy. That's
Christian. Christian Missy.
Exactly. Well, it's just a few days left until Christmas, and I'm doing my last day at work today, so I'm looking forward to some time off. Yeah, and like you said, it's been two games. One that we kind of want to forget quite quickly because of the way it went. Even if it wasn't the worst case of it, it still wasn't a good performance. But then we had West Ham, which was so much better, which also make us look ahead against Arsenal this weekend coming up. So yeah, I'm good. You know, we're still not top of the league, but we're, you know, in the top of the league, and we're still there, and we're doing great in the cups, obviously, and stuff. So I can't complain, really. It's all good.
Yeah, I feel like we might as well just briefly touch on United, of course, like, but not in detail, because it feels like an age ago, and also we've got a massive game against Arsenal coming up, which we need to. I think the West Ham game set a nice little precedent for going into it with a bit more energy, and look like we were going to score. I think the United game, it was just, we had plenty of the ball. I think it is one of them, like, we had plenty of the ball, plenty of chances, but for me what was frustrating is just like we just weren't clicking in the final third. Like that last pass or that last through ball, like there's a few times Obislai didn't have his best game by any means in that game. Like, just he was trying stuff, he was looking, he was working hard and whatever, and all that good stuff, but just the final ball, and Salah was just, the final pass just weren't there. So I think that was the frustration, because I think because of last year as well, we battered them 7-0. General consensus, are we going to batter them again? And it was like, well, it's too easy to get drawn into that. We were all hoping for that, but we all knew deep down that this was going to be a dogfight. And I think I said on the preview, like, if you'd asked me, if you told me it was going to be 1-0 with a tucker, and it's one of them, like, it, and hindsight, that would have been a great result. The fact that we didn't score, we had loads of shots, loads of play and whatever, but we just didn't look like, it was one of them after I think you can tell after like 20, 25 minutes that you're like, this is going to be one of them games where if we score, it's going to be just one of them, like a fluky one, or just we get lucky near the end, or something goes in off the post or whatever, or something late on. But I always just felt like this game, the longer it went on, they had a game plan, and it surprised me how well they carried the game plan out. But I think even regardless of how like well they played, and I think it's just crazy that you've got a United side coming to Anfield and putting 10 men behind the ball and playing counter attack. Like I love to see it because it means they're shit and we're not, so they want to defend against that. But I think it was just we had enough quality there to go and just beat them like by 1-2-0 and just get over the line. But it just wasn't to be. It wasn't on the day, really.
No, when, you know, I think we look at the first, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, I think, you know, we're up for it. We are having a shot or something after just like 8 seconds or something. And, you know, we have loads and loads of corners and we are going at them. And I think, you know, if we score that first goal, especially in first half, I think it could have turned out to be another 3-4-0, to be honest. But it's just to get that first goal. And I thought by the first, you know, the look of it at the start that we were there. And this would be, I wouldn't say easy, but, you know, one of them where we still do it quite comfortably in the way we started. And but, you know, the longer the game goes, it's just one of them where you feel like it's just one of them games where it's not going to happen. And I think the problem for us was obviously they were standing with all the 10 men behind the ball, like you said. But also when we were moving the ball, because we were in the control of the game from the start, like they didn't really have anything except for a couple of counter-attacks, which obviously came out dangerously for us. But I think that we moved the ball too slow. We were not creative in our runs. We didn't, you know, ask them questions like we will talk about with West Ham. There was runs in behind in space and stuff, which, you know, tear the defense apart. And I don't think we did that against Man United. And that was the biggest problem. We kept the ball and we kept on passing it around their penalty area. We tried a few things and we took a few hasty shots and all that. So I think we just didn't do ourselves a favor with being more patient and actually try to speed it up. And that's what's our problem, because they were standing and were quite comfortably with just defending.
Yeah, I feel like that was a reflection of our recent form as well. I think going into it, we've been winning games, but we hadn't been fluid by any means. Like we just looked like we were lacking, like the bridge between the midfield and the attack just didn't seem like it was there. And I feel like that kind of just trickled over into that United game, unfortunately. And it was, and we mentioned, I think on the previous show, like about like our home form, and like we'd won all the games, and then this one kind of dents it. And it's one of them where they'll be absolutely made up that they've like dented that, in the same way that we dented like City's home streak. They'll be the same, like thinking, oh, we're made up, like we've stopped Liverpool's like home winning streak in the Premier League. So again, it shows where they are and where we are, and we're in obviously a much better position. But I feel like, yeah, like you said, early doors, Onana's like having, just kicking it out of play, and you're like, fucking hell, we're going to have an absolute field day here. We're going to score loads of goals. And yeah, it's just one of them where it's just so frustrating. And I'm glad we didn't do it straight after the game, to be honest, because it was just like a bit, depressing is probably a strong word, but it was like social media, I just went straight off it, because like people calling it, saying fuck off Salah, fuck off Klopp. I'm not even going to mention the fella, but I'm sure you know who it is. I don't even want to get into that, lad, because it's just hilarious, like how people react so badly.
I know
where we are in the league, and you're expecting like you can expect high levels all the time, but there's always going to be drops, and Liverpool have had a little bit of a drop in the league in terms of performances, but we're still up there. It is funny though, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, just a take on that. I think, you know, where you listen to different podcasts or shows that come, you know, that talks about Liverpool and our performance and so in games and stuff, there's obviously loads out there, and there's a few that are very, you know, serious and good, and obviously have an analysis that is very good and rational, if you like. You know, the comments that the person you are referring to, and those kind of accounts with, you know, sell Salah and all that kind of stuff, you can't take them seriously though. Like, no. I hope that we come across, we can have banter, we can have jokes, we can have laughs, but I hope that we come across as sensible, because I think I would never sit here after a 0-0 at home against Man United, and we're still like top of the league together with the two other teams. We're doing really well. And even if they have a day off where Salah wasn't good, and you know, Nunez wasn't good, and the whole team, you know, we were controlling it, but we were not good enough in, like I said, in the creative part and with the final ball. I would never sit there and just say afterwards, like, sell people or sell players and do this or that or whatever. It's just a way of getting attention and clicks and reactions. And you know, if fair play to them if that's what they want, but you know, I want to come across as someone who talks about Liverpool in a sensible way, and I hope that we do that. And you know, it's childish, that's the thing. You know, it's weird behavior.
It is, it's proper weird. What annoys me is, like, when you see people like quote tweeting it and whatever, I'm like, please just, like, don't clip up quotes, don't put his face on it, don't show me anything, please. I follow them people because they've got good views and whatever. I don't want to, like, see that shit. But it was just a mad time. Whenever Liverpool don't get a result, social media just goes a bit mad about, like, this player's not good enough, this player's not good enough. It's like, whatever, you can't just be rational about it and just say we've not been that good lately. This was a continuation. We can only get better than this.
Like, yeah, but then also when you look at that, like what happened against Man United and the performances from players, and then it just takes another couple of days and you have a performance like we're going to talk about against West Ham, and everyone is splendid, and everyone's like, oh, they are great. It's like, yeah, we know they can have a day off. Sometimes it doesn't work. It's a sport. That's the way it goes. Sometimes the opposition halts you a bit. They have a match plan that just, you know, harms you in the way you want to play. Sometimes you don't have the form you want. Sometimes it doesn't click. Sometimes the weather does interfere. Sometimes there's different factors every time. But, you know, a certain game after, we're really, really good, and other players comes in and show, you know, energy and stuff. We will talk about that. But that's the thing. That's why I don't understand people who will moan straight away. I understand if you are frustrated and angry because the performance was bad. That's one thing. But it's another thing to be very, like, moaning about things if you kept on being bad for like 5, 8, 10 games and you didn't see any change and it becomes a big problem. Then I can understand. I would sit there and moan too and be really frustrated and angry.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you see, you know, a pattern that you need to break. But at the moment, it's fucking brilliant to be a Liverpool supporter. Like, there's nothing to complain about, to be honest.
Yeah, well, let's move on from that. Let's move on to some good stuff and not that shite. And yeah, like we've mentioned, like the game last night against West Ham, I was thinking it was going to be, I knew it was going to be a proper test. I knew they were going to make changes. I knew we were going to make changes. Liverpool made quite a few changes, to be fair. We went Keller in goal, Gomez, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, Tsimikas, Szoboszlai, Endo, Curtis Jones, Elliott, Gakpo and Nunes. So a few changes in there. And I loved the look of that team before it kicked off. I mean, there was a few people worried maybe about, like, should Van Dijk be in there? Certain players, they may be worried, like, ahead of the Arsenal game. Like, but it's all about, like, getting that rhythm, like, having that rhythm in place. And, like, if someone can play 60, some plays 30, vice versa. It's all about, like, you can't, a full 90 is rest, great, but these players want to at least play a little bit of the game, and you've got to keep energy in the legs. And I feel like from the minute one in that game, we just look like, we still looked a little bit like we were having shots from the edge of the area, which I've seen loads more recently, and I'm a big fan of. We've been having more shots when we get, like, on the edge of the box where you've got a good chance of scoring. Like, I don't want to see, like, I don't know, like we in the Fulham game where we scored loads of bangers. Like, that's not going to happen every game, and like you need to, like, limit them as much as you can. But when we're around the box, like Javi Elliott especially, and Szoboszlai and whatever, and I feel like we were turning the screw a little bit. And I think once that goal went in, and we might as well go straight to the goal because it was another absolute worldie from Dominic Szoboszlai. And he's been one of the people, like, I'm happy to give him criticism because the high levels he's came in at, he's hit the ground running. That's fair to say. I think everyone can see that he hit the ground running. I feel like it's only natural where he's going to then come into a little bit of a moment where maybe he's not having the same impact on games. He's been trying stuff. I think United game's a good case in point where he was trying stuff, it weren't coming off. He was maybe trying a little bit too hard. I don't know what it was, but this game, I feel like he showed his quality. And I think to get the first goal as well, in the way that he did, in the typical Dominic Szoboszlai fashion with the strike, it was just, I mean, it wasn't quite as nice, I guess, as the Leicester one where it hits the bar and goes in, because that's just a pure thumper. But this one, I feel like the technique as well on it is just, it is Gerrard. It's Gerrard-esque, the way that he strikes the ball. And but yeah, a boss, 28th minute to get off to a start like that is perfect in a game like this.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned as well that, you know, the whole game from the start, we were controlling it again. Like, that's what I've got to take from the Man United game and into the West Ham game, and from the West Ham game as well, that we, obviously, we played at home, so that plays a part. But I think we were very good in controlling the game. It was more about, can we create things, you know, run more? Can we be more clever with the ball? Can we be more, you know, asking questions to the opposition and their defenders when we do things? And that's what we did against West Ham. And I think, you know, I wasn't that concerned, because I felt there were things were going our way. We would create a little bit more chances. And when he scored that goal, it's just like you said, it's one of them where he finds that little space in the corner of the goal and it just goes up and down straight away, the technique that he uses to do that. And I think also when it comes to that, we have had more shots recently from outside the box. You know, I'm a fan of it as well, because you look back on, like you said, the Gerrard days when, you know, he just blasted him from range and
whatever.
Yeah, and that was brilliant. The football today is a little bit different compared to, you know, when it comes to defending and having space and time. Even though the Gerrard era wasn't that long ago, it has changed a bit. But thing is, I think it's a balance from when to take shots from outside, when you get the opportunity, or when to hold on to the ball and find other options and be a little more patient. But I want us to shoot more, because we've got the quality, like in lads like Szoboszlai. So in this case, obviously, with the goal that he scores, it's brilliant. And it takes us into half-time with 1-0 up, and kind of the feeling that we, from the United game where we didn't manage to do that, we go in now in the lead in a game where we're controlling it and we feel like we can build from there. And that's what I wanted, and I thought that was great ahead of the second half, because obviously what happened then was brilliant.
Yeah, and I feel like going into the second half, like, you were thinking at least they're going to come out better than that. We were very good, but I think for their standards, and West Ham are a very good side, don't get it wrong, they were poor, and you feel like they're going to come out better. And I feel like it's a testament to how good that we were in terms of, like Klopp referenced it after the game, like the energy, the pressure and the closing down, the willingness to run. And I mean, we've seen the fight and energy from this new Liverpool side. Like, we've seen it every week pretty much, but it's about having those moments in the final third where you've got a bit of a cool head. I think in the United game, there was no cool heads on the pitch, unfortunately. I think that needs to, that can be loads better. And I feel like that's a positive, because it's something that we can definitely improve on loads. And that first half was a nice little settler going into the second. And what we started to do in the second was, I mean, just even better. Even from the first whistle of the second half, you were like, Liverpool have came out the exact same way from the first half and want to continue the good work that they've done. And that's kind of where we go on to the Jones goal. And I feel like that can't be understated. Like we said, only 1-0, it's one of them scorelines where I think they were coming, getting maybe a few chances in the game, like balls in behind, and they were looking like they might have a chance to maybe get one back in the game. They were just about to bring on Paqueta as well. You could see him getting warmed up, and then Curtis Jones scores that goal. It was the perfect timing. Like, they were about to bring on Paqueta, try and get in the game a little bit more, get him involved in the game, and then we go and score. And it's a lovely little bit of play. Jones flicks it around the corner. Darwin Nunes has the presence of mind to see Jones making that run into loads of space, plays it in with his left foot, and then Jones was like, looks in the box, no one's there. He goes, nah, no worries, I'll just make the keeper anyway. And that was just a nice little touch for Jones as well, for a nice little nod to his performance. I know we'll speak about the second goal in a minute, which is fucking even better. But that was just like a nice little token for his performance, because I feel like he's had a bit of a weird season where he's coming in and out of the team. And we've had, I guess, Gravenberch overtook him now. He's been injured. He might be back for this weekend, hopefully. But the more players we've got, the better, is what I'm trying to say. But I feel like for Jones, he's had a bit of a patchy season with injuries and stuff. And I feel like I always say it, and we always say it, like, he's a rhythm player. And I feel like the more you get him in the team and the more you get him playing games and give him more confidence, I feel like we'll see those driving runs. And I want to see them driving runs more. I want to see him linking up play and then running with it, having shots. Like, there's so many times that he makes those little 1-2s and he doesn't have a shot. He just passes it off and then the move breaks down or whatever. So I feel like that was a nice little example and of a finish where he knows now in his head, hopefully just to take that forward, like, I can do this against good sides, and he can take it into the Arsenal game and games going forward. But it was a lovely goal and a perfect time goal.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we talk about Curtis Jones and everyone, you know, have their opinion on if is he good enough or not and all that kind of stuff, that's been hanging on with him since he broke through. I think, you know, he shows that he's got the quality to play for Liverpool. It's just, you know, to try to keep fit, obviously, that will, you know, because he's still young, but we hope that he will still, you know, keep fit in a long term, but that he actually got his playing time a little bit adjusted by Klopp as well. Because even if I do look at it as I want him to start quite often, because I think he brings something like the energy, the little edgy stuff from midfield. Maybe sometimes it's good that we can rotate him, so just make sure that he doesn't get himself injured in a stupid way or whatever. But I think, and Klopp said as well in his press conference, you know, that they want him to speed the game up and that kind of stuff, because he got that in him, but he doesn't really do it. But now they talk to him loads, and it seems like he understood now what he needs to do. And against West Ham, he showed what they wanted, which was brilliant. And I think, in a perspective where you look at our midfield with the lads that we do have and the quality we do have, and obviously now McAllister is out and all that, but Jones just got something extra that some others doesn't have. I think he's great with the link-up play. I think he's good with the ball. Some people say, you know, he takes too many touches, takes too many times. And obviously that's something that Klopp meant would speed it up a bit. But if he learns that, you know, he's so young still and can develop so many skills assets of his game, that I'm looking at him thinking, you know, he can go on and become great for us, which is, you know, it's brilliant. Because I don't know, what is he, like 23 or something like that? He got plenty of years, you know, to play for us and keep on developing. It's the same with Elliot, who I would praise as well. And we'll probably talk about it. But, you know, in terms of the way that Jones are playing in this kind of game, the link-up play, the way he, like the 1-1-2s, like you said, and he keeps on running, that's when you pull defences apart in the way he does. And he's got this tricky edge in his way of playing that, you know, not all midfielders do have. So I'm just very grateful that we have a player with something extra and that we can bring it in, and it doesn't make us less good. We still got the same quality. So, you know, all positives in, you know, from my end when it comes to Curtis Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he's born in January, so he's 23 next month, basically, which is, again, I think 23 is for someone who's coming through the youth ranks. I feel like he's always going to be compared to, like, I guess, these younger players who are, who've maybe been in the side and done more or scored more goals and whatever, at an earlier age. And I feel like he's such a, from being like a left winger, and he's had to fine tune his game. He even said himself he had to come in and he realised he hit a stumbling block because he didn't know how he was going to get better. He had to then go back to the drawing board, learn stuff, and work out where he can be better. I feel like that's still a work in progress. I feel like there's stuff he can do loads better, definitely, but it's about picking and choosing his moments. We know how good he is. It's about giving him the confidence, and I feel like, yeah, it's to get the second goal and to perform like he did was just, it's boss to see him play with a smile on his face, to be fair. And the more local lads you can get in the team, the better. I feel like people, so especially like on Twitter and whatever, I don't like people really like appreciate that. They just want to go and buy like a 60 million like player from somewhere else, like who's technically boss and can keep the ball and whatever. But if you can get someone who knows the values and was born up scouting and through the ranks, it's invaluable. It's so valuable that I feel like it's something that you need to be more patient with. So hopefully we see more of that. That's the thing we need. He needs to build on this. It's not like a, well done, there you go, that's you done. It's a well done, now crack on and do more of it as well.
But I also think, you know, he's been in Liverpool since he was a young kid, and he's obviously broke through at the age of like 18, but he's always been there. And, you know, Klopp's been here for so many years now, but Curtis Jones has always been considered as someone who should stay, not go. Obviously, we've been talking about maybe getting him out on loan when he was a little bit younger and all that, but if he's stayed this long under Klopp and already, you know, developed all his skills, and Klopp is there to see him train every day without being one of them like, nah, he's not good enough, maybe we'll phase him out in a year or try to get money for him. But he's there. He's one of them who's actually Klopp's looking at, you know, with brilliant skills, a player that can develop loads, that got loads of talent to for Klopp to polish. he's been there all the time. It's never been a debate from Klopp's side or what we heard that, are we going to sell Curtis Jones? You know, it's more of supporter perspective that maybe a loan would be good for him because he hasn't played it well. But I think they kept him because they can see it on the training pitch. Like, just have patience. Uh-oh. You know, he's still young. Let's just keep working with him and it will come. And, you know, it does. And now, like you said, he just need to crack on with the rhythm more, and hopefully he will. And I'll see, you know, a great future for him in Liverpool. And that's good.
Yeah, I feel like it's not easy being a footy player these days with social media and whatever, and you can read like people giving you grief after every game if you don't do this and you don't do that. Must be so difficult. Like, to, I mean, I'd have no social media, me, if I was a footy player.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd literally just be like, or let someone else run it and just don't tell me what's put on there. Must be, I'd like, but yeah, again, he needs to build on this, and hopefully he does. Like after that game, you say, no, he has to start the Arsenal game based on that, and that's biggest compliment you can pay him, like to get back into the side and up against the team that looks like we're going to be fighting for the title with. Hopefully City aren't that this season. We know they will be, but I'm just wishing there, wishful thinking it's just going to be us and Arsenal. It's probably not. But yeah, then we, like I said, they were bringing on Paqueta comes on for Benrahma. We bring on Endo, goes off for Trent. Endo again, I mean, we could go through the whole 11 and say they were boss, need to improve still, but need to kick on and keep that same energy again. Endo was, again, it's testament to how good he's been doing.
Yeah, you can see now, you know, why we bought him, because of the energy he brings. I would say that he now brings a certain kind of comfortable feeling of being that wall protecting the defensive line, but also when he gets the ball, he finds, you know, little passes here and there, he just moves it on. But he's just one of them where balance to our defensive play and game plan. So obviously it's a little bit easier when you play at home where you don't have teams coming at you with a press, as like when we played Crystal Palace, he had a bad game, but that's because they were on him straight away. So it's a little bit where we play and when and who and all that. But in general, I think he's, you know, the last couple of games, even against Man United, if it turned out the way to be a 0-0, I think, you know, he's a player who you just appreciate, like we appreciated Lucas in a way, even though Lucas was at Liverpool for a longer period of time and he came in young. Now Endo comes in a little bit older, obviously, in his 30s or whatever it is. But he's that kind of player where you're just like, I like him because he's doing that kind of job that, and doesn't complain, and he's always having a tackle in him. He's always trying to, interrupt their game and everything like that. So, yeah, I really appreciate the work that he does, because you need them players as well. You can't underestimate the importance of them.
Yeah, I feel like he just needs a bit more. Again, he's only been here not too long, so he needs time as well. But I feel like he just needs a bit of, especially away from him, like you said, a bit of, I guess, confidence in his own ability to be able to turn on the ball quick and just move it. I feel like when you watch City, and obviously it's not a fair comparison to compare Endo to Rodri, because Rodri's just ridiculously good, but he just, confidence, like he doesn't even get pressed anymore because people know it's not worth it because he's too good. He's going to knock it around you. Do you know what I mean? I know Endo's, like you said, it's the end of his career, so he's not going to, but if he can do a good substitute of that in like his best own way, I feel like that would be, and I think we're hopefully seeing signs that he's starting to have a bit of awareness around him, quick passes, 1-2s into areas where we can then move it on. And we know his progressive passing's good. That's never been an issue because we've seen it. But I feel like the other bits that can come with it, like the tackles and whatever, and throwing a foot in, if he can do that a little bit more as well, and in the right areas, and not give away the fouls. I think that's the main thing as well. Just those fouls where we get those tackles, where we're keeping the ball and keeping us and winning the ball back and taking us over is ideal. But yeah, Endo goes off, Trent comes on, Van Dijk goes off. So like I said, Van Dijk only plays 60, Konate gets the 30, and then Szoboszlai goes off, so he gets the 60, and then Salah gets the 30. And then we go up and we get the third, Cody Gakpo gets a lovely goal on the outside the box again. Like you said, we've scored outside the box. I think we've got the most in the Premier League. I think we've got 9 outside the box. I think Arsenal have got 8. So I think we're top of that little league. I don't know what it is in terms of all comps. I'll have to ask Mike from Opta, to be fair. I'm sure it's a high number, though, because we do seem to, we seem to score a lot of them from outside the box, which again is nice to see. But again, I think the Gakpo goal, I just loved that. I loved the forward three last night. I really did. I just loved Nunes over on that side. he caused so much carnage. Like, he causes carnage wherever he goes just because he's Darwin Nunes. That's what he's about. But on that left-hand side, he's not as polished as a Diaz, who's like close control and maybe, but in terms of getting in behind and making stuff happen, yeah, and just running, having that balance between going left and central, which we know we can. I just felt like, yeah, it was lovely to see. And then Gakpo with the goal, I feel like maybe he could have been in the game a little bit more, but from the little bits that he did do and keeping us ticking over, like little intricate, you know, when he's in those false nine positions, when he needs to get round people and his close control and whatever his boss, we know that, and he gets so many free kicks from that. But to get a goal as well, I think was just again a nice little topping off of it, of his performance and Liverpool's performance as well.
Yeah, and you know, with Gakpo playing a few games now, and also obviously because of Nunez been playing as a number nine, I think, you know, it's a good thing that we can mix it up with Darwin Nunez playing from the left, because they can swap positions because they are both used to play on that position. And, you know, that will also ask more questions to the opposition defenders, because it will be like, who the fuck am I supposed to mark now? Because, you know, they're just moving around. And I think also some games where there will be more tight defensive play from the opposition is something that suits Darwin Nunez to be more when it comes to, you know, playing to the left, because he gets more time on the ball to take on his defender instead of being, you know, the ones, even though, you know, he had a few offsides last night as well, and, you know, he's trying to just be, you know, in perfect time with the line and stuff. I think sometimes it's better for him to maybe come a little bit more deep, get on his defender, try to get on the outside and, you know, curve it like he did last night as well, hitting the post, obviously. But, you know, it's just one of them where you see, sometimes in some games, he comes to his right on that position. And if we want to switch it up a bit with playing him central instead of Gakpo, and Gakpo out to the left, because that feels more natural than when Diaz comes into the central.
Diaz. <Lias.
laughs> Yeah. So, you know, and also I think, you know, with everything that Luis Diaz has been going through with injury and family stuff, I think, you know, it's not fair to put too much, you know, things on him, but I don't think he's been up to the same level that we're used to see. So at the moment, I would love to see Nunez to the left, Gakpo in the central, and Salah against Arsenal, because I think with switching them up and doing that kind of position changing, that would be something that would, you know, threat them and wouldn't be easy for Arsenal, I think.
Definitely, definitely. And yeah, again, to go 3-0, 71st minute, you're like, right, game done and dusted. Now they then go and score. Jared Bowen, of course, like, yeah, scores a belter. Kwanzaa, again, we can talk about him. We're not going to, because we'll do a pod for 4 hours if we talk about every player. But I thought he was great, apart from that little moment there, where, and of course Bowen's class, so he's always you can't keep him quiet all night. And I think Kwanzaa was just, yeah, in terms of everything he was doing, those crossfield passes, really fast passes into feet, like all that stuff that I love from a centre back. He was doing it all, winning aerial balls, the lot, class to see. I absolutely loved it. But Bowen gets the goal, and you're like 3-1, 77th minute, 13 minutes left. You're thinking, should be all right. You're like, it's one of them. Like, it's like there's enough time. If they get one in the next five, it's going to be a nervy last 10. Yeah. Like, it is one of them. But luckily, Liverpool respond. I said Salah came on the 60th minute. He gets his goal, 82nd minute, and it's just Liverpool. That goal was just like that. We win it. Trent gets it. Salah's in his own half. He knows what's going to happen straight away. He's like, yeah, Trent's getting the ball. He's going to play it through to me straight away. And it's through him when he's one-on-one like that. 9 times out of 10, it's going in the bottom corner. And that's what happens.
It's a great finish. Yeah, great.
It's a great finish. And it's 201st Liverpool goal. And yeah, that was like a boss to see Salah. Obviously, whenever Salah scores, his boss, because we want him to get as high up that all-time goal scorer list as we can. And just, especially just 5 minutes after they'd scored, it just completely killed the game. And I was like, yeah, sound, let's get a few more if we can from off the back of this.
Yeah, and it's just brilliant to see, you know, the way the Trent plays that ball as well. Perfectly laid off for Salah, who just have to, you know, continue running in his speed, and the ball just comes perfectly, you know, for him into space, and then brings it on a few touches, takes it out a little bit wide to give himself the angle with the left foot. So it's a great piece of play. It's a great finish from Salah, and, you know, I just think, you know, to look at him keep on scoring now, you know, 201st goal is brilliant. And then another assist for Trent, and obviously he will have another assist for the last goal as well, which I didn't think of actually, but now when I look at it and actually see the stats, fucking hell, he comes in into the game and then he gets two assists to his name. So yeah, well done.
Well, it is like when I saw that it's boss to get two more assists with Trent, but it was one of them, like the Jones assist for Salah against Man City, where he does play like a short pass into his feet and then Salah goes off and rips everyone and scores. That's kind of what Jones did. He just took the ball. Well, let's talk about that. It only happened 2 minutes later and Jones gets a second and, lovely little bit of play and he just runs inside and it just keeps going. And it's like, there's so many times in games where I feel like he could do that. He could easily do that, where he could just commit people. He's got the pace. He's not a proper electric pace, but there's enough pace there and enough power that he's got in there, especially as he's getting old as well. That'll only increase.
And confidence, obviously.
And confidence as well. And I feel like he had the confidence from the first one, from the performance he put in. So he was like, right, we're 4-1 up. Fucking, I'm gonna try and take on the whole team here and score. And you can say West Ham didn't cover themselves in glory for it, but I'm looking at it from our point of view, where it's like, that's boss going into a game on Saturday. You've got your young players, the Joneses and Quances, Elliot, all putting in class performances. You look like a team with energy. And I posted after the game, like, it's boss to see us like getting into another semi-final, and we'll talk about that in a second. But like, having the energy and the connection in a final third, and people fighting for each other, and like all that boss stuff that we've seen so far this season, that has maybe dropped slightly in the last couple of games, where we've still been winning, but not especially the United game, where we just didn't click. This one was just back to normal again, and it was just like proper. I don't know if it was because Gomez, we haven't even talked about Gomez, fuck's sake. It felt like a 4-3-3 again. Gomez and Tsimikas going high and wide, dropping back in, both being strong and getting forward, overlapping. Endo dropping in with Van Dijk and Quanta to make a three. Basically like we used to do. It was like we used to do, and it just felt like, we've said it in the past, like, might we go back to that sometimes? I don't know if we will. I feel like we're maybe too far gone with this inverted stuff, but I feel like last night was a good example of how good that can be. Let's talk about the Jones goal. I'm rambling.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
No, that's fine. I think it's important to highlight, you know, Tsimikas and Gomez's work, you know, going, you know, to just going wide, because it helps to, you know, drag them out as well, which, you know, makes the central areas bigger as well, because they need to bring people and players out to, you know, cover where they come running for the overlaps. And if they do that, which they did brilliantly, you know, with coming into those spaces where they can put crosses into the box high up the pitch, but as long as they kept on doing that, they will need to cover that kind of space and make sure that they, you know, put pressure on them, which obviously makes more areas in the middle. And that's where we also came through with Jones when he scored. That's where we came through when Szoboszlai scored. That's also because of the work that they're doing wide. Because if we, like, we're playing with Trent right back and in midfield in that kind of hybrid role and that kind of tactics, it kind of created loads of no space in the central areas, because there's so many midfielders in there, not only us, also the opposition team and their central midfielders. So it didn't give us loads of space to try to find passes in or time with the ball to go for shots from outside. So if they play wide, which I like, it creates more space in the center of in the middle of the park, which I like, because that means we can drive the ball into there with our creative midfield players, and they got a little bit more time to maybe find that final pass into like the runs of Darwin Nunez or Diaz or Salah or whoever. And I think that worked very well against West Ham, and I think we should continue, depending on the opposition, depending on if it's home or away, maybe, you know, sometimes, all right, let's play with Well, if Trent starts and we want to have that kind of wide play, that's fine. But, you know, sometimes if you want to put him in midfield, let's have Gomez going right then, because he's doing it really good. He's solid, he's drive forward, he's fast, he's good with the ball. Another time, like you said, we forgot to talk about him, but again, he's been in Liverpool since he was 17. He had these problems with injuries. He was really great when we won the title and the Champions League and all that, and he was still young then, and he's still young now. But we can't forget that, you know, he's got quality. It's just one of them also with the bad luck of injuries. But when you actually look at him play, there's not many other, like, backup defenders that can play in central to the right, even to the left if we need to, but, you know, got that control, got that speed, and there's no complaints. You know, you can't complain about that. Just having Gomez in the team is fucking boss.
Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole 60 minutes on Joe Gomez, to be fair, because I saw people like last night saying like how good he was, and it's like, it does need to be said out loud that he was, like, just trusting his own body. I feel like after that patella tendon injury, like that can end a career. That, to be fair, so it's took him a while to get back to his level. But I feel like he's there now, sharp on the front foot, closing down. Like what I've loved is like that is like on the front foot, but he's running when he's closing down. He's running full speed. I feel like there's too many times we've seen Gomez, like he'll half run because we know he's quick, but he'll jog a little bit. I've started to see him like sprinting full speed to block stuff, to close down. Just like the difference between sprinting and three quarters sprint, you're closing that space, but like you're giving them one, two seconds less to think about a pass. And I feel like we're hopefully starting to see that a little bit more. Like you said, what an option to have. If we want to change it up, or he comes off the bench, or just like, and can play in all those positions. He's just invaluable to have. He really is. But yeah, the game ends 5-1, because we could talk about it for another hour, to be honest. It was there's so much good stuff. But the draw happens straight afterward. And I think I was like torn between like, do we want Chelsea now over two legs, and then we get either Fulham or Borough in the final, which would have been good, to be fair, when you think about it. But we drew Fulham. They drew Chelsea. Drew Middlesbrough. So we play Fulham at home so first.
A final against Middlesbrough, then nice.
Yeah, imagine we're playing the final. Yeah, that's the dream. Like, so yeah, January. I think we've got Newcastle in the league, then we've got Arsenal in the FA Cup, then we've got Fulham in the Carabao. So again, jam packed in January. There's going to be loads of games coming up. So yeah, Fulham at home first, then away second. So let's just hope. Let's hope Borough have fancy getting away to a final, because like we've seen recently, and not even just recently, like finals against Chelsea are always tight. Like even like it doesn't even need to be a final. It's just any game against Chelsea. They raise the game, we raise the game, and it's always like a 0-0 or a 1-0 or 1-1. It's always a score draw or boring. So hopefully, and I've done a little bit, had a little look at Middlesbrough. They've got Sepp Vandenberg's little brother there. So let's just hope he can score at Attrick from centre half. You know what I mean? Little Rav Vandenberg can score a goal or two and get them through. But I mean, we're absolutely fucking wishful thinking there, like, to be fair. But again, it's just nice to be. It just feels like normality has been resumed. Like, we're winning games, we're playing well, we're getting to semi-finals, hopefully getting to finals. We're near the top of the league, and I feel after last year, it's so hard to. It feels like last year feels like so long ago, but like also like so not so long ago as well. Like, it still feels fresh, but you can feel like just how we've gone from that. Like, we were sat here every week going, oh, fucking hell, Liverpool, no energy, no fight, no desire. What are we doing? Like, what are we going to do? Midfield's fucked. Said the same shit every week, and at the end of the season, we fixed it, and we're thinking this season, what's going to happen? And all the people leave, like, players leave and whatever. You're like, what's going to happen? And it's mad how, like, we've just kind of clicked, and we're doing so well. I think it's easy to forget, like, how difficult this must have been for us to do, and how much of a genius Jürgen Klopp is, and the coaching staff and the players and whatever. But what are your thoughts on Fulham then? Like you said, if we can navigate them, like, they're playing well and stuff, but at home, obviously we would have preferred to be home second, but the home game, if we can try and get that sewn up as much as we can, like a couple of goals lead going into the second leg, we should be all right, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, when you look at, you know, Chelsea, Middlesbrough, Fulham, it kind of pick and choose without being, you know, disrespectful or anything. It's just one of them where I think, you know, I would be up for any of them because, you know, with the Cities and Uniteds and Newcastles and Arsenals out of it, you know, you used to like, obviously you look at Chelsea, but they haven't been good. I don't say they will not turn up for this kind of game because obviously they got quality in their team. But, you know, I was just looking for, you know, I obviously wouldn't like to have Chelsea just because of it. I'd rather just maybe just have them in a final where we just can go out and play a great game. But, you know, with Fulham, I would be like, yeah, no problems. Like, I don't say that it's going to be easy, but I think, you know, it's a great chance for us to get to another final and go to Wembley.
Yeah, I mean, it's going for our 10th League Cup. I mean, that would be just, yeah, just boss.
But that's also the thing when you actually refer to last season and the way we felt and everything that went on with you know, with the little smallest highlights of 7-0 and other nice games, obviously. But the overall season that you mentioned, if you look at how hard it is to be, you know, stay at the top of the Premier League and consistently perform and be you've gone through in the Europa League, you're now in the semi-finals of the Carabao Cup, you're going to play in the FA Cup, we'll see how that goes. Obviously, it's a hot, tough away game. But, you know, if you can't enjoy, you know, being at this level with Liverpool after what we went through in the summer as well, with, you know, yeah, changing the midfield and all that, if you can't enjoy the ride now and just keeps and moaning about, you know, yeah, every little thing, you will never be satisfied. I come to a point for a long time now where I just feel like I'm just going to enjoy as much as I can. There are going to be moments where I'm going to feel like, fucking hell, this is shit, this is bad. Like last season, there was not many highlights there except for the ones that I mentioned. But, you know, when you look at it now, fucking hell, like, I'm, you know, it's brilliant. Like, the United game was one off where they'll be like, oh, you know, it takes it down a little bit, but then it comes to 5-1 against West Ham. We're playing Arsenal home again, you know, on Saturday just before Christmas. You know, you can't, it's brilliant. Like, it would be so much worse. Just imagine being like United support at the moment or supporting Everton or whatever. So if you can't enjoy it now, then you probably will never enjoy football in the way I do.
What I loved as well, like, I posted in the group chat, like, it would have been us versus Everton if Pickford had normal sized arms, which I just feel like I watched the pens back, just their pens shootout, just to cheer me up. Not that I needed cheering up, but just to see Pickford pissed off and annoyed. Fucking love it. But yeah, us against Everton would have been, would have been exciting, but I wouldn't have looked forward to it because it would have been like, just again, nervy. Having to play Everton and then Chelsea in a final is just not what you need with like fixture pileups and whatever. I think like Fulham, like, all respect to Fulham, they're a good side, but I feel like it's not as like a hostile environment when you go into Fulham and whatever. So it's, I mean, hopefully Liverpool still need to turn up and do the business. So hopefully we do, like, to be fair. And yeah, just quick, like Klopp mentioned, the atmosphere after the game. I don't know if you've seen this. And he was saying, like, after, because I thought when I saw the quote, I thought he was talking about the United game being bad, but he was talking about like the West Ham game being bad. And I don't know if it's a bit of a ploy, because I don't think the atmosphere was that bad, really. I feel like it's more of a, it could be better. Certain areas of the ground, of course, we know where the good areas are and where the bad areas are, or whether, like, there's more, I guess, people on a day trip or whatever, and maybe don't know the songs, etc. I don't know. But he basically said, we need Anfield on Saturday. Arsenal didn't play this week. Anyone who knows anything about them knows they will be prepared, so we need Anfield on their toes from the first second without me having to have an argument with the opposition coach. and I'm fully on board with this, but I feel like it is something that, again, the club as well need to fix as well. I think, like, there's certain pockets of the ground where it's like, it's always going to be quiet, and it's always been quiet. And maybe you need to rejig certain stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of logistical stuff that needs to go into it. And it's probably, I don't know if it can ever change, because we know those certain areas are main stand and upper main are always like quiet. Or if you start singing, you get looked at like you've got three heads. So there's all that. it's always been the case and it needs to change. But I feel like just generally stuff has to change. I feel like the United game was definitely poor, especially in a game like that, where if we had a bit more atmosphere, we might have won and got that goal that we needed to win that game. So it's give and take, but, and like I'm saying, like, if you're not up to it, give your ticket to someone else. And I was like, well, it is quite difficult to give your ticket to someone else with the fucking, like, being able to transfer stuff and whatever. It is a bit of a mad one. I feel like on the face of it, it's just Klopp basically trying to get the crowd up for this game on Saturday, which is going to be huge, I think.
Yeah, and I tweeted about it because I was certain that he referred to the Man United game first. But if it was West Ham, it's a little bit weird because I think, you know, even, you know, coming through the TV, the atmosphere was better than against Man United, to be honest. Much better the way I heard it through the TV. But it's just one of them where, because I tweeted something about, you know, I agree with him, and I wanted to be clear about, you know, that it's a little bit sad that he had to point it out, because he shouldn't have to, because it should be, you know, something that it's just common sense that, you know, it should be a, you know, an atmosphere. I understand it can't be going on 100% for 90 minutes, but, you know, in general, it should be, you know, a good atmosphere every game. There's so many factors, you know, that people discuss or having opinions on, you know, is it many tourists? Is it the hospitality? Is it, you know, there's loads, like the older generation of local fans who was, you know, probably singing and shouting and jumping back in the 70s, 80s, you know, 90s, that are not asked anymore. It's so many things that people can put into this little, you know, what do you call it, like a... all these kind of things when it comes to stadium atmosphere across England, I guess, or in many countries. I know there's loads of great atmospheres around in Europe and stuff, but it's just one of them where you can't really point and blame anyone, because, you know, football have come to this nowadays in the modern era that, you know, it's hard because it costs loads to go, so you can't maybe go. There's the hospital. The things that I don't like is the hospitality. I fucking hate it, to be honest, because I don't care if you're rich or if you're a businessman coming there as a sponsor or whatever, you got your tickets like in hospitality. You can buy them because you're a millionaire and, you know, it doesn't, and you can go in and have a meal and stuff. That's everything that I don't want with football. I want to obviously go to the pub, have my pints, speak to my mates, go to the game. And obviously, yeah, every ticket is expensive, obviously, but not if you get like in the cop, it's not that bad. It's obviously more in the main stand and all that kind of stuff. But I just hate hospitality, because if you want like a businessman who just want to come and sit and just watch a game because it's, I'd be like, fucking hell, like, if you go as a supporter, I don't care if you're the richest man on earth or if you're whoever, like a dog. I don't care. But it's just, hospitality does my head in, especially when they build more now with the new stand and stuff. I can't stand it, because that takes away loads of seats where local fans or fans who really care about atmosphere and who wants to sing can actually get a ticket and go. Instead, there's going to be people who flies in with private jets and whatever. It's not for me. And I think that's have a big factor. And then you can talk about, you know, where, like you mentioned, upper main stand where we were against Everton as well. Like it's difficult to hear the cop when you're up there as well. So it's, you can't really connect with different areas of the stadium because it's that big. And it's hard to do something about because that's the way it's built. So there's so many factors. I just think that the overall message, like Klopp said, to everyone is to play their part, whatever you are.
Exactly.
In the stand.
Yeah, and we might actually, I think it's probably a good idea for us to do like maybe a little show on like that type of like the stadium and whatever, and like maybe give a little insight into like if maybe people who have never been or whatever or going for the first time, and like just to like maybe encourage people to sing a little bit more. I feel like it's something that like if you're in a cop, it's you're singing, you stood up all game, you're singing, that's the norm. That's, and I love that. I love when I can get a ticket in the cop because it's boss and whatever. But when you're in those other areas, like it is hard to, like you said, to connection, because you can hear them, but then you're maybe a few seconds late, and then you're starting your own chants and they're over each other, it's not in sync, so it's not loud, so it's like it is all these things. And again, Maybe we can do a show on that, which I think would be quite interesting. But I feel like, like you said, the overall message is Arsenal on Saturday at Anfield. We need a massive atmosphere. Like the United one wasn't near enough that we needed those extra 1-2% we can get from the 12th man, and it is the 12th man. Like as cliche as maybe other fans, rival fans see that, we know how big that crowd is. We know how massive Anfield can be. When the crowd's up for it, and when everyone's in sync, it is the 12th man for a reason. And that's something like going into these games where we wanted it against United, because if we were the one now, of course we'd be absolutely loving it going into this Arsenal game. But it makes, I don't know if it makes the Arsenal game a little bit bigger, because we need to win. I say that like, because we're obviously hopefully going for titles and whatever. But it makes it a little bit more crucial. I guess it does make it a bit more important that we have a massive atmosphere and we go and win against Arsenal.
Yeah, I think, you know, that I was discussing that with an Arsenal fan, actually, a Swedish Arsenal fan on Twitter, like in a good way, because, you know, we follow each other, so it's not like any hard feelings or anything. We're just discussing the way that, you know, crowd have its part to play in games like this. If you get like an atmosphere that, you know, rocks up and makes Anfield really going, that will then get into the players on the pitch, because they feel it. And obviously, when they play well, that's something that goes back to the... So it's a balance there. But, you know, he said, you know, that against Man United, because he probably watched a bit of that as well, it was quiet. And, you know, I think, like you said, I agree, that would have helped us to actually come across the line and actually win maybe 1-0, 2-0, because we've seen it so many times when we needed the crowd and the team in sync. It's the Barcelona game, you know, the Olympiacos game, the Dortmund game. There's so many where we just had that feeling of we're lifting the roof of Anfield, and we can tell that it does affect players on the pitch. It does affect opposition on the pitch, you know, so... That's why I think, you know, we need to have those moments even now. It's Arsenal at home, who's top of the league. It's a statement if we win. It's a good, you know, way of, you know, getting above them and keep on going into the new year and all that by doing it all together, the fans and the players and the, you know, the team. So I think it's one of them where you can think of how much will it be affected from the crowd's perspective if you sing and shout and, you know, show their support to the team and what they can bring a little bit of extra energy into certain moments, into, you know, even if it's the end of the game and it's 0-0 or 1-1 or whatever, that little spark from the crowd can help us to get that 2-1 goal, because it kind of gives the extra bit of energy that they might not have at that time in the game, because you've been playing for 90 plus minutes, but it can help. So that's why I think Klopp is very eager to just come there and help us, because it will affect Arsenal as well if we sing and shout from the stands.
Exactly. And I feel like it's these bigger games that you need. I mean, you can get by, and it's funny because like people, like opposition fans come to Anfield and it's like, I don't know, say Fulham. Sorry, I'm picking on Fulham fans, but like say Fulham, for example, like, oh yeah, Anfield's like atmosphere is a myth. It's like, well, it's not going to be that game against Barca or Olympiacos, the Chelsea's and all that.
It's you. It's Fulham.
it's not going to be that against yous, because we don't need them as much. We still want it to be loud, but we don't need it to be like hostile in the same way that we do in these. And I think that's what Klopp's trying to get at. And it took like that. Obviously, the big bit of a fight on the touchline with him, and Arteta got us going last time. And hopefully, again. And let's talk about Arsenal for 5 minutes or so, and we'll finish off. What are you thinking going into that one? Because we've mentioned like all the players that play well in the West Ham game, and the Kwanzas and the Elliots and the Joneses, the Gomezes. There's quite a few players that you're like, Elliot. They perform so well, but. What are you thinking in terms of lineup for this one?
Well, in terms of lineup, I obviously see a few changes. I think, you know, we see Konate coming back in central defending with Van Dijk. How good Kwanzaa has been playing for us since he came through and showed what he can do. I think we still need to be, you know, slowly turn him into the new Matip, if you like. We don't need to rush him. We don't need to put him in games where the pressure is so much big, even though he plays like he doesn't feel any pressure, very mature and all that. I think it's just clever to not put that pressure on him, you know, if it's not needed to, obviously. So I think we see that. In terms of midfield, it's home against Arsenal. I would like to see Trent coming into midfield straight away, to be honest, with Szoboszlai and Jones, because I think Jones deserves to play. Would that be something with a balance that could be dangerous? I don't know. But the way Gomez played to the right and the way he runs and do the overlaps, I think that will ask more questions to Arsenal than if we play Trent to the right and he comes in central. Do you know what I mean? I think it could be more of a clever move in my way of watching it. So I would like to see that, but it depends a little bit. Will Endo play being the defensive piece that we need in the middle? I don't know. And then obviously the front three, I mentioned it before, I would like to see Darwin Núñez to the left, Gakpo going central, can come down deep a little bit as well. So, you know, both Salah obviously from the right and Núñez can go in to into spaces and they can swap positions and all that. So that would be my team if I had to, you know, pick them. I probably would go with Trent in midfield, to be honest, for this one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really torn because, like you said, Gomez was so good and we looked boss as like a 4-3-3. We really did. It was lovely to see us like back in that kind of old style of play. And like when you see like the average positions, it looked like it used to look like exactly like Fabinho dropping in alongside like Van Dijk and Canata, Van Dijk, Gomez, and then you're having...
And it works. It seems to work.
It works. I just feel like he goes back to... Like I would say it'd be Trent, Canate, Van Dijk, Tsimikas. So obviously like Endo and Jones. I think Jones needs to start. I'm gutted that Elliot can't start, but I think obviously like, in terms of energy and pressing and closing down, I think Endo, like we said, performed really well. And I feel like he can give us some defensive stability in there as well, especially in maybe counter-attacks and whatever. And we're definitely agreed on the forward three because I feel like Diaz, as much as I love him and all the stuff that he's gone through is horrible and whatever, he's not quite hitting the levels. I feel like maybe a little bit more time in as a bench option would help him as well in terms of being fresher. So I think that Salah, Gakpo and Núñez, I feel like when you look at their side they put out against Brighton, they seem to like they go Ben White right back, who obviously then comes inside, same as Zinchenko, and then we've got Saliba and Gabriel. I'm looking at it going, right, Núñez up against Ben White and Salah up against Zinchenko, and I'm like, we can have loads of joy there. They'll be thinking the same with Martinelli up against Trent and Saka up against Tsimikas, of course. But it when we play Arsenal, it's always the fight of the wingers. The wingers are always the main fellas in the game. So I feel like if we can, if Núñez has a proper, I feel like in the West Ham game he was everywhere. He was closing down. He was making stuff happen and linking play and getting an assist. Unluckily to not score. He's deserving of a goal soon. I feel like that front three would just cause them. Like you said when you talk like Gakpo and Núñez, you can interchange and stuff. And I feel like the more unpredictability, hopefully mixed in with a cauldron of an atmosphere and everyone pressing, everyone on the toes, like Klopp wants everyone to be, the players and the fans. We just need to, I just feel like try and cause as much carnage as you can early doors and get that early goal that we always need.
Yeah, and I think, you know, playing Darwin to the left, I think at home as well, where teams will come and sit a little bit more deep. I guess, you know, Arsenal like to play offensive football, but, you know, they're not going to be stupid and just leave loads of space behind. But they probably will attack, obviously, but they will sit back a bit as well. But I think that's more suitable for Darwin playing to the left because, like I said before, he can take on players with the ball then and, you know, try to, with his speed and flair, you know, just to be that kind of player. Because when we play in a way and we get the counter-attacks ourselves, like, for example, against Newcastle, when he scored those two brilliant goals, that makes him run into space. He got loads of space and, you know, players who can put the ball into that space, and he's so quick and he's so sharp in those moments where he doesn't have to think. That suits him when we play away to play that number nine role. But I think actually at home, where defensive teams comes to play more defensively, it's harder for him to have that space behind that line because there's not much space, and that therefore he doesn't have much space to run into, and it's hard to, you know, pick out the ball perfectly into those spaces for anyone really, even if we got Trent, Soboslav and all them, because it's not much to play on. But, you know, if he plays to the left and switches a little bit with Gakpo because he can come deep and stuff, it will create more space in behind that defender on that side, but also for him to take on players. So I think that would probably suit him better when we play at home, to be honest. So that could be something to actually experiment with going forward when we play at home, because I think that would suit his game better, and probably he has more chances when he plays on that side as well. When he cuts in and he had the one in the post, and he had that one that where against West Ham where he did take a shot with his left foot, and obviously it should be a save, but, you know, he still hits the target, so it's just still there creating loads of chances and asking questions. So I think that could be something that we could try going forward when we play at home, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's all like we always mention all these new players and whatever. I feel like Darwin's still maybe still trying to find where he's going to be and where he's best fit, because obviously we would every game, especially cup games, whatever, we're changing the team up. So you need to start to get used to everyone that you're with. And am I best on the left here? Am I best central? And like figuring that out. And I feel like that's only done by playing games and seeing where people are more have the most joy. And I feel, and we knew, we saw clear as day, Darwin Nunez was having so much joy down that left hand side and being able to come inside and have those shots, like you said. And he's got a hell of a shot on him. He really has. From those long distance areas where he can just absolutely well you. We saw it against Bournemouth where he top corner, so we know we can do it. So. And he's due one against Arsenal. So, and he's due a goal, basically. So hopefully he can get one. And that brings us to the, I always say the best part of the show, but I'm taking the piss. It's the worst part of the show, really, because it's score prediction, because who the fuck knows anymore? We haven't got a clue. But what are you thinking for score prediction, lad? Can I guess what you're going to say?
Yeah, of course.
I reckon you're going to say 2-1 to us.
Yeah, I was going to say 2-1.
I only say that because whenever I let you go first and then you say 2-1, then I have to go, oh, fucking hell, that's what I was going to say. And it just sounds like I'm gagging off you, but I'm not.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm going to be a little bit bold and say 3-1 to us, to be honest, because even though it's Arsenal and they are really good, there's no doubt about that. I still think that with the performance and the controlling against Man United, obviously going into the West Ham game, doing what we did there, and also Klopp now, you know, saying to the fans, like, make sure Anfield is rocking it on Saturday. And also because Arsenal is a little bit more, you know, brave, I guess. Like I said, they would probably sit back a bit, but they are still brave and want to attack. They want to go and win because they are in the top. They want to have, you know, they want to go and win and maybe be a little bit clever and be happy with 1 point, obviously. But I think it will be more spaces against them than it was against Man United, for example. So I think we will also take in what we did against West Ham into this game. Think of how more creative it was, how clever it was in terms of runs and stuff. It feels like we will create more. I just got that feeling. And hopefully with Anfield in the back of everything, you know, as a 12th man, as you said. So hopefully that will create more for us, that will result in more goals. So I say 3-1 just because of it feels good as well. Because it makes me feel Christmassy.
It does. And again, it's like this game at this time, we're both the top of the league. If we win, we can go top of the league for Christmas Day. We'll be top of the league on Christmas Day. Of course, if Aston Villa win as well, they'll be joint, but our better goal difference. So we'll be top of the league on Christmas Day. So what better impetus have you gotten to go and not only put a good performance in against you, the lads who were closest to you in the league, Arsenal, 1 point ahead of us at the minute, and then to also go top of the league over this period and then build on what was a boss West Ham performance. So there's loads of good things, loads of options for Liverpool to who we're going to play. I'm excited to see who's going to start the game. Like we said, there's so many options in there that we don't exactly know who's going to be where. It could be, there's always a surprise in there, so we'll see. But yeah, it's exciting. But we will leave it there. It's a bit of a long one, apologies, but three games to fit in. So
did you say your result?
Yeah, 2-1.
Oh, 2-1, okay.
I'm going to predict what you said. Right. Only because that's what I was going to say, and I was thinking you were going to say it as well, but then you said 3-1. So, but yeah, I'm going with, 2-1. I feel like I say it every time, I'm never comfortable with us keeping a clean sheet, but I'm just hoping, like, if the crowd can get us over the line, and like I said, go top. Christmas Day, absolutely, absolutely boss.
I want to give a shout out to Paul as well for that nice Christmas present that he sent.
Yep, exactly. Yep. I had it written down, but I missed it when I was going through the list. And yeah, I'm glad you brought up Paul. You're an absolute legend. If you haven't seen what Paul sent us, I'll go over to our Twitter account at Copy Podcast. He sent us a lovely little, like our logo with like some Scrabble tiles. I don't know, like all linked together. Liverpool, the Copy Podcast, and then. Luckily, your name's got a T in it, so it links up with podcast. And then because you've got you start with a K and I end with a K, so a nice little link up. And I was like, yeah, that's good. That I would never have thought of that. So yeah, again, Paul's
very creative.
It's very creative. And yeah, thanks to Paul, he is he is what you would call a Cop-Eye podcast legend. And I know there's loads of us out there. But we just know Paul. We just know Paul because he's in the group chat. Like I say, if you want to join the group chat, you can let us know at Cop-Eye Podcast, Twitter and Instagram. You can join it. Feel free. It's a boss little group. There's always good stuff in there. But yeah, we'll leave it there. Hopefully the Reds can, yeah, go top of the league Christmas Day. It'll be absolutely boss. I can't wait for the game. It's going to be so exciting. I think after the West Ham game, yeah, hopefully the only way is up as the song goes, is for the Reds, especially for this game and for loads of games coming up, like we mentioned, cup games and whatever, loads of Premier League games. So it's exciting stuff. But if we don't speak to us before Christmas, and I don't think we will now, actually, to be fair, have a boss day, whatever you're doing, have a great time. We're battling like 80 mile an hour winds in Liverpool, so we're absolutely worried about my fence flying down the road, to be honest. I feel like I'm fucking Dorothy in a Wizard of Oz. Just feel like my house is gonna just get picked up by a hurricane. But yeah, whatever you're doing, have a boss time, have a good time with your family. Don't get too pissed. I know I will, and no Christian will, but well, you won't get as pissed as Christian, let's put it that way. You won't drink as much as Christian, let's put it that way.
I'll take it easy, you know. I'm with the daughter and the family and stuff. So you know, it won't be much. It will be a small little for the food, you know, with the food and a couple of berries maybe in the evening, but it won't be much this time, probably another time. So yeah, but Merry Christmas to all. It's a lovely time of the year, so we'll see you after, I guess, and then ahead of New Year as well.
Yeah, well, we'll do one after the Boxing Day and stuff like that. So we've got plenty more shows coming up. But yeah, again, apologies for the long one, but three games and loads of goals and good stuff to talk about, so it's worthwhile. But again, thanks to Christian. Again, thanks to you guys for listening. If you're still listening, then yeah, you're with Paul being an absolute legend. So thanks very much. And yeah, up the Reds. Let's hope we can go on. I would say let's hope we go and batter Arsenal. But I mean, if we go and batter Arsenal, that would be the perfect fucking Christmas present, wouldn't it? Let's hope we just put in a massive performance like we did against West Ham. Energy, creativity, goals, whatever. Let's get over the line and go top of the league. But yeah, nice one, Christian. Nice one, everyone. And we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop-Eye Podcast.
Network.